This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Right, it is amazing to be back. It's awesome. Let it shine, let it shine. Love that song. It just takes us back to the simplicity of life with Jesus. And I'm going to share with you a word that I was meditating upon on the plane, and just some of the things that the Lord came to do in my heart as we were traveling and going to different parts of the country, different parts of Europe. And Zechariah 4, verse 1 to 2, the name Zechariah means the Lord remembers, and he's one of the prophets that prophesied together with Haggai. And they prophesied specifically during the rebuilding of the temple and the rebuilding of Jerusalem as God's people were led back from captivity. Very often it happens in our lives that we allow ourselves to be taken captive by the things of this world. Johan spoke about one of those things that sometimes can take us captive is the cares of this world, worry. And it sounds like something very simple and straightforward, but worry and stress. Stress actually is the greatest cause of, people staying away from work. It is a massive thing, and it can trap your heart. And we don't have a lot of physical captivity anymore, but we do know we have a lot of emotional captivity. We have a lot of physical captivity even. We can be held in bondage and captive to our finances that are not in place. We can be held captive to things that are not in place in our bodies. And so whenever we look at Scripture and we think about the Israelites that have been taken captive by the Babylonians, think about what are the things that want to keep you captive. We know that Scripture says that Jesus was anointed by God. And he was anointed by God to do a whole lot of things, to preach good news to the poor. We know the poor is not just those who are physically poor, but also those who are spiritually poor. He was anointed by God to preach healing to the broken heart. Then he was anointed by God to set the captives free, to open the prison doors to those who are bound. And the things that keep us in bondage is very often designed to keep us away, as we heard this morning, from the presence of God. And we can be in a room like this, you can be in the temple. And what was fascinating for us was going to these massive cathedrals in Europe. Massive things, big things, glorious things. Things which at one stage probably were filled with a sense of the beauty and the majesty of God. And what you have now, unfortunately, is just a whole lot of emptiness. Most of them are museums now. You pay some money there. Most of them, many of them are used as libraries or even as government buildings. Like in Holland, it's used as a gemeentegebouw. I thought, hey, that's awesome. Church is still using it, but gemeente daar beteken maar het municipaliteit. And so a lot of these church buildings, even though at one time in the history they were created for the glory of God and for the presence of God, they have been taken captive by some other agendas now. They lost the presence of God. They lost, even though the outward focus is still there, even though the outward beauty is still there, it is empty. And I know that God desires all of us not to live simply with outward appearances, not simply with outward going through the motions. He desires us to enter in, to enter into what he has for us, life and life in abundance, to enter into the fullness of what he has for us, the fullness for what Jesus died for us. And I often ask myself, am I experiencing today, am I living today, am I accessing today what Jesus bled and died for? Is what I'm living now, is how I'm experiencing God now, is what I'm living now what Jesus bled and died for? Because Jesus gave his life for me. Did Jesus give his life for beauty, beautiful, glorious, empty building? Or did he give his life for people to represent him? People to experience him, people to be rivers of life. And so I was challenged by the fact that, yeah, you can look at the Israelites and say, oh, you guys were taken captive by the Babylonians and we are free, but are we free? Jesus come to set us free, but are we walking in that freedom? And I know that Christ is wanting to lead us into that freedom. And for you and for me, we have to evaluate our lives. You know, Nelson shared with us this morning the reality that so many of our people in our nation are being held captive, they in a Babylon of fear. They're in a Babylon of unforgiveness. They're in a Babylon of prejudice. I think modern-day Babylon is Dubai, to be honest with you. Dubai Airport. You just walk in there, it is just like you're overwhelmed by everything in Babylonia, I think, would have been smells and just everything shouts at you, buy me, buy me, buy me. Fortunately, the rand doesn't allow you to. But I think that's what modern-day Babylonia must have looked like, larger than life. You know, money isn't an issue, and it's all designed to lead our hearts astray. And we see that the people of God was led by God from captivity back to the promised land. And that's what God is doing for us. And some of us have come from backgrounds, again, as Johan shared, where in our families, maybe we grew up in a way that didn't fully represent the fullness of God. Maybe the marriages that we saw modeled to us didn't fully represent the beauty of a husband laying his life down for his wife and the wife submitting to her husband willingly. Maybe the work environments that we experienced or when we studied, the things that we had in our lives, they were a little bit like a Babylonia. In other words, they cut us off from the presence of God. And then Jesus intervened in our lives. All of us here had encounters with God as a student, maybe at the Asifia camp of Ivers and the Kinderkrans, somewhere, or maybe when you were lying next to the empty beer bottles, drunk beyond comprehension, and yet the Spirit of God spoke to you. You had an encounter with God and your life changed. And now Jesus is on this journey with us, leading us back from our captivity into freedom with Him. Amen. Into fullness, not into religion. And I looked at all of those buildings, I looked at all of the things that Europe experienced, and it's so easy to look at those cathedrals and say, oh, man, they missed it. And I realized we can miss it. With all of our nice songs and all of the stuff that we do, we can miss it. We can settle for less than what God has in store for us. Are we accessing what Jesus bled and died for us for? And I believe the Holy Spirit is leading all of us. We're on this journey into freedom with Christ, into the fullness of what He has for us. And Zechariah comes and Zechariah speaks to Zerubbabel and to Joshua. They were the two men that God had ordained to lead the people back to Jerusalem and then to rebuild the temple. And Zechariah sees about 5 or 6 visions, and we pick up one of the visions in Zechariah 4. Now it says, the angel who talked with me, the angel that showed him all the other visions, he came back to me and he wakened me. I don't know if some of you guys have found the secret to sleeping well on a plane. It's still eluding me. My neck gets stiff and, it's just like, hallelujah. But any case, as a man who's awakened out of his sleep, and he said to me, what do you see? And sometimes it happens to us that the Spirit of God would come into our lives, would start talking to us, would speak to us through scripture, or maybe during worship, or maybe when somebody brings a word like this, or you're just having your coffee early in the morning, having quiet time with God, or you're walking on the beach, or you're cycling somewhere, or you're changing a baby's nappy, God will come through the Spirit of God and He will drop something in your heart. And it is as if you have been asleep all along. Something wakes up on the inside of you and you're like, I've never seen this before, and yet it was right in front of my eyes. And that is what the Holy Spirit does. As it did for Zechariah, I believe with all of my heart that part of what Jesus bled and died for us for is the beauty of revelation knowledge from the heart of God. The beauty of not having to wait for a priest to speak to me and tell me what the Word of God says, I can hear from God myself. God can engage with me right where I am. I've got free access into His presence. He can speak to me. It is my birthright as a child of God not to go through weeks and months not knowing what God's will is. God wants me to know what His will is. He wants me to know what His specific will is for specific situations in my life. And I believe that God is wanting to awaken us. He's wanting to stir our hearts. And for me, these last couple of months, God has been speaking into my life, and certain parts of my heart has been coming alive again, as if I was asleep. And I'm trusting God that for some of us, we will be experiencing, maybe we are experiencing some of the same. And if you're not, if you're going through a dry spell, or you can't remember, when was the last time God spoke something into my heart and it arrested me? I couldn't think of anything else. I couldn't think of anything else because God's word has come to me and it's challenging me and it's changing me and it is moving me. I was speaking to Yolande and Marku, the worship leaders in Utrecht now. And they, last year was a tough year for them. They just gotten married and then they moved to Utrecht. For 3 months they lived with Derkian and Renee in their house, newly married couple, 3 months with other people in their house. That's not always the easiest thing to do. Had to get up at 4:30 in the morning to go and work at a coffee shop, came back at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. It was tough, away from home, difficult situations. How did this happen? What caused you, led you to go to Utrecht? There was a word. There was this something that dropped in their spirits. They went on a visit to Utrecht just as part of the band a couple of years ago. And Marcus says it happened to him once. He didn't even think that he was going to go to Utrecht. But as they were holding hands, they were praying in the public square, he suddenly was overwhelmed by the compassion of God for the Netherlands. And for hours, days, he couldn't stop weeping. God did something inside. What happened? God woke him up. A medical nurse whose career path was leading him somewhere else, God woke him up. God stirred something in his heart. And he's now having to study Dutch so that he can do his nursing again. That's what he wants to do. But right now he's a brilliant barista making incredible coffee for people and they love him. But what happened? God did something in his heart. Another friend of mine who's there, Werner, I spoke to him. And he's a businessman and he was doing business in Johannesburg. And the Lord led him also to go back. His wife is from the Netherlands. And he's doing business now in waste renewal and renewable energy. And God had spoken to him about the fact that there was a divine purpose why God had allowed the Netherlands to be the nation that first planted their feet here and laid the foundation for a lot of the European civilization that we have. Dis lekker om Afrikaans te praat in Hollandse streekie. Jy kan nie meer so skinder van mense soos wat jy kon in Frankryk nie, op die bus nie, of in Engeland nie, want die ouens verstaan wat jy sê. But there's a connection between us and the Netherlands, and as we pray together, we begin to understand that God had a redemptive purpose. There's a connection, and he's exploring, what does it mean, God? What did you have in mind originally? Because we must be honest, a lot of God's purposes were hijacked by the devil. But there's a connection there. And he's bringing a business consortium over from the Netherlands to South Africa to come and explore business opportunities. If there are businessmen here, entrepreneurs, chat to me. We are having discussions saying, God, more than us just being a spiritual church there, there's kingdom advancing that needs to take place. Why did the Dutch people come here? Why are we speaking Afrikaans? Why are we here in this beautiful nation of ours? What's the connection? God has woken him up. He didn't think about that many years ago, but God started speaking to him. I've got a suspicion that so often we go through life asleep. Asleep to the purposes of God. And I believe with all of my heart that God is wanting to awake us again. That the angel of the Lord is wanting to invade our space. But as Bianca said, and we heard this morning, we've got to give him permission. We've got to come. We've got to say, angel of the Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. That's a dangerous thing, right, to say, because when you ask that, God will speak to you. And then what will our response be? And I believe the Lord is wanting to encourage us to have our eyes opened. He says to Zechariah, Zechariah, what do you see? And I want to ask you this morning, what do you see? What do you see? Yesterday we saw beautiful things on the television. It was incredible. Must admit, it felt like I was dreaming. As if I was asleep, it was just like a beautiful dream. Don't wake me up from this dream. Let it continue. Most of you don't know what I'm talking about because you're not interested in rugby, but there was a little game that took place and yesterday in Wellington. I know Wellington in New Zealand. Okay. So Zechariah says, I'm looking and there's a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other at its left. So he says, I'm looking. The angel asks him, what do you see? And he says, I'm looking. And then he describes what he's seeing. Right? So he starts off in the natural with what he's seeing. And so I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" I'm like, "Come on, Zechariah, hang on a minute. You just said what those things are. You said it's a lampstand, seven pipes, this bowl on top. You described it. Two olive trees. What do you mean? What is it? It's a lampstand with two olive trees. That's what it is." But there was more to it than just what he saw. And he had the humility of heart. First of all, he had the courage to look. He had the courage to look. "What do you see?" the angel asks him. And for me, God asked me, "Heinrich, what do you see?" And I must admit, when I went to Europe, at first I looked at a very dark continent. It is scary how far away from God Europe has grown, even though much of its culture is rooted in Christianity. But the Spirit of God is moving. There are people from all walks of life doing amazing things in the presence of God. The Spirit of God is alive. Cannot be limited to culture, cannot be limited to legislation. The Spirit of God is moving. The Minister of Education in Holland is a born-again, Spirit-filled believer. It's incredible. The government there was forced to have a coalition government, and in order for them to have the majority, they had to bring the Christians on board, a handful of them, and that man was given influence. In such a post-Christian society like that, a Spirit-filled, born-again believer planted in government. God's Spirit is doing amazing things. And then in Germany, and it was the same in London, Holland, Germany, come together, and then things happen in the Spirit, and Lawrence, my friend, we need like kort video clip go speel. Could understand that. I think you too might have understood it if you could hear it. It was German. One Spirit. We're standing there and we're singing German, and the Spirit of God is there. Right? And that nation that needs God so much, there's a remnant, there are people that have heard a word from God. So I want you to plant a church then, and they're faithful, and they're calling on God day by day, and they're calling for intercessors and people to pray with them and to partner with them and to help them to disciple their town, Galdorf. An amazing privilege that God has given us to partner with that congregation. The Spirit of God is moving and is wanting to stir hearts for His purposes. What are you seeing in your life? If the angel of the Lord were to come to you and ask you, what do you see? What do you see when you look at yourself? Will you see a car and a house? And two kids, maybe no kid, no spouse or spouse, differs. By the way, I realized how blessed we are to live in the houses that we do live in. The Europeans make a lot with very little. Eh? It's like little spaces, and they do incredible things with those spaces. It's amazing. But what do you see? And I think sometimes we miss a step. We want to go spiritual very quickly. But what's amazing for me here is that the angel goes with Zechariah, and first he starts off in the natural. And I want to encourage you maybe this week, today, gaan doen 'n bestekopname van jou lewe. Gaan kyk na wat het jy fisies. Gaan kyk wat is daar in jou lewe. En dan vra hier vir die Here, Here, wat sien u? Wat beteken dit? Hoekom is ek 43 jaar oud, getroud met Nicolette Titus, hoekom het ek 3 kinders, hoekom woon ek in Somerset West, hoekom het ek wat ek het? Hoekom? Wat sien ek? What do you see, God? Why am I who I am? Why do I have what I have? And awaken my heart to your purposes. The amazing thing about Zechariah that he does is he comes and he says to the Lord, what are these, my Lord? And I want to encourage you, maybe you've become familiar and comfortable with what you have. Maybe you've even become comfortable with your wife. I want to say to you, you don't have a clue who she is. You might have discovered something for the last 15 years or so in my case, but I know what God has put in my wife is beyond comprehension. It's beyond my wildest dreams. And the greatest risk that runs for us in our marriages very often is that we can become so familiar with one another. But who is this woman from your perspective, God? Who is this child? What is this business from your perspective? What are these, my Lord? Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? I love the honesty. It's like, Zechariah, asseblief, kom, weet jy regtig nie? And Zechariah responds with such humility, I love this. No, my Lord. I've come to appreciate again how wise God is and how stupid I can be. I've come to appreciate again how far beyond my finite wisdom His infinite wisdom is. I've come to appreciate again that when I put the sums together and I count one and one and I get two, God can get 1,100 because His perspective is different than mine. But He does want me to do the counting. He does want me to be faithful with what I have so He can transition me into the Spirit. And I want to ask you even this morning, when you look around here in this hall, what do you see? When you think of this congregation, Shofar Summers of the West, what do you see? What do you see? Do you see a collection of people? Do you see old people, young people, kids singing nice songs? What do you see? Because what we see is crucial to our purpose and to our engagement with God. What do you see? I'm going to tell you what I see in a moment. Because I don't know, Lord. I don't know what I see. Here's the encouragement. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 to 10. If we are in need of direction, if we are in need of an awakening, we don't have to stay asleep. We don't have to stay ignorant of God's purposes. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. It's beyond what your mind can imagine. People might think they know you. You might think you know yourself. But it says, eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of men the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. There are amazing books upon books upon books upon books of beautiful stories and purposes that God has for you. Beautiful things beyond your wildest imagination. Verse 10 gives us this promise, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. If we want to access the things God has prepared for us, there's no other way we can get there than through His Spirit. And I've been challenged, and I felt in my heart that I'm representing this congregation. I've been challenged by God to say, Heinrich, are you prepared to engage with me, to take cognizance and stock of what is in the natural? But are you prepared to engage with my Spirit so I can show you what I'm seeing? Or will you be trapped by what you see? Will you be limited by what you see? And when we're over there in the UK, in Europe, and people start asking us about what's happening in your nation, where's the nation going? We hear all these news reports, and then you cannot ignore what you see in the natural. But you certainly cannot base your sense of purpose and identity by what you see in the natural. You have to engage with the Spirit. You take stock. Things are tough. things are shaky, things are scary even, but God hasn't given up on our nation. And there are beautiful things happening in our nation. There is a promise and a hope that God has given us. While you will not be there if you just stay in the natural. Because it's not what the newspapers report. It is not what people talk about around the campfire. But if we just stay here, people, we will not engage with God's purpose for our lives. We might have a comfortable, happy life, but will we have a life that changes destiny? I doubt it. Are we prepared to step into the Spirit? Not ignore the natural, take cognizance of it, but talk to God's Spirit about what is this? What is going on in my life? Through His Spirit, God has revealed things to us that He has prepared for those who love Him. Does that include South Africa? Yes, it does. Does God love South Africa? Yes, He does. Does God love Holland? Yes, He does. Does He love France and Spain and New Zealand? Yes, He do. He loves New Zealand as well. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So here's what the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me about. He's been saying to me, Heinrich, you've known me for 40 years, but you're just scratching the surface. And you have become comfortable with scratching the surface. The Spirit wants to reveal to us what? The deep things of God. How deep are you prepared to go with God? We heard it this morning over and over and over again. Come close to me, engage with me. And so the Lord has been challenging me on a lot of practical things that I had to make some sums about. God, will I base my identity, my excitement, my future based on what I see in the natural? Or will I base it upon what you are showing me in the Spirit? Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. All right, so God, if you're confused, if you're in need of direction, that's the spirit that is on the world. The world is confused. The world submits to fake news. And fake news doesn't depend on the agency it comes from. Fake news is simply that that contradicts the word of God and the promises of God for our lives. Are you believing God or are you believing the fake news? We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So again, in Utrecht, a handful of people, and they, the fulcrum, the central point in that city where God is bringing together nations, and they there for a year or 2 years, and those kids' lives are being changed and transformed, and they go from atheists, they don't have a clue about who God is. You know, it's weird and it's wonderful having to preach to people, and you know, I've got to explain almost everything that I'm about to say to you now. Who Moses was, what the tabernacle was, what the temple was, all of those things. And you see the lights go on, and you can see transitions. Amazing things happening where people would have been sleeping together because that's just a done thing. To 10 years later getting married because God has awakened them and He's speaking into their hearts. Zechariah saw something that was very familiar to him. Okay, I want to wrap up in the next 7 minutes. Lawrence, if you can go to Leviticus 24, verse 1 to 3. Slide 10. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring to you pure oil of pressed olives for the light. Unless you have pressing, you won't have oil. Unless you have brokenness in your life, unless you have purification in tough times, you won't have the oil of the Holy Spirit flowing through your life. To make the lamps burn continually, Aaron shall be in charge of it from evening until morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generation. So we see that Zechariah knew the lampstand. It was handed down from generation to generation. There's a lampstand in the tabernacle, and that lampstand is to be filled with oil, but that oil is to be replenished by Aaron and his descendants daily. They had to take oil, they had to put the oil in, and they had to keep the lamp burning. So there was oil, it was beautiful, it was amazing, but the priests had to sustain the lamps. Do you see that? The priests had to look after the lamp. They were in charge of it from evening till morning before the Lord continually. The difference between that lampstand, and this is why it was so easy for Zechariah to have missed it, but he paid attention. Okay? Let me just get back to that slide. Zechariah 4, verse 6 to 7. The lampstand that Zechariah saw and the lampstand that God gave to Moses was almost the same, and yet it was slightly different. So he answered and he said to me, slide 9, Lawrence, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. If you name your baby Zerubbabel, it'll be an amazing name, but a tough one. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Remember what's being contrasted here. You have the lampstand that Zechariah was used to, filled with oil by the priest, and now you've got another lampstand. That lampstand is connected to these two olive trees, and there are no human beings sustaining that lampstand. That lampstand is being supplied by these two olive trees. Oil flows directly from the trees into the lampstand. Are you still with me? So one lampstand given by God for a season, sustained by humans, fed the oil by humans. Another lampstand in a new season, not fed by humans, but fed by God himself. Are you with me? And then the Lord says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth a capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Very quick context. For Zechariah, he started building, rebuilding the temple. It was burned down by the Babylonians. It was burned down to the ground. Just blackened stones were left behind. Together with Joshua the high priest, they went back with a couple of thousand of mostly poor exiles returning to Babylon, to Jerusalem. They start rebuilding the temple. For 2 years, they lay the foundation. The Samaritans come against them with such opposition that they lose heart. The Samaritans lie to the Persian Empire about them, and the Persian Empire puts a stop to the rebuilding of the temple. 2 years they built, and then for 17 years, nothing happens. Nothing. What was his purpose? Go back, rebuild the temple. He starts off, 2 years, it goes well. Opposition comes, 17 years, nothing happens. All that is in front of him is a mountain of stones. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. What do those stones represent? Imagine, 17 years, Zerubbabel has to walk past his purpose that is in ruins. All I have of my dreams, the word of God, is a rubble of stones. Then Haggai comes, and Zechariah comes and says to him, Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. You will have the presence of God. You will have the tree. You will have the river. But it's not going to be by your effort. It's going to be by my spirit. And it's going to be by my grace. Grace is different to mercy. Grace speaks about God's enabling power. So I will enable you, Zerubbabel, to build this. And that's such an amazing verse. Not by might, nor by spirit. Not by might, nor by power. Not by human effort. Not by human intellect. Not by human budget. Not by human striving, but by my spirit. And so, kazam, the next day, Zerubbabel woke up, the temple was there. It was beautiful. Everything was restored. Because God said, it's not by might nor by power. You know your Bible's better than that, don't you? It took him 4 more years to rebuild the temple. Not by might nor by power, but by God's spirit. So when God comes and says, by my spirit, he doesn't say to us, go to sleep and I'll wake you up when it's over. He just says, know where your strength is coming from. You're still going to work. You're going to put shoulder to the wheel. Your fingers will probably crack from time to time because the stones are heavy, but I'm going to be there for you, Zerubbabel. And my grace is going to empower you. My spirit is going to fill you and you will build this thing. You will establish this marriage. You will build this business. You will start that school. You will lay down your life and go to a foreign country. You will raise those kids, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. The Holy Spirit is wanting to release over us a power to finish what God has given us. Amen. I'm excited knowing that that is the invitation the Holy Spirit is giving us. Not your might, not your power, but my Spirit is going to be with you. And so the oil, I want to invite you to come. I want you to receive the oil, just symbolically as a sign. Oil, I just thought about a couple of uses for oil there, and they're not extensive, but oil lubricates. That's slide 11. It cuts out friction, relational wear and tear. I want to invite us as a congregation, and invite you as individuals, as married couples, to go to the Holy Spirit and ask Him for a fresh anointing. Oil comes and enables us to live with the people around us. It lubricates. Like ketting wat so kraak en geroes is, gee hom 'n bietjie olie. Hy loop weer lekker. Oil heals wounds. Think the Samaritan comes next to the guy beaten to a pulp. He puts oil on his wounds. Oil lights dark corners and roads. Oil in the lamp. You need it for where you're going. Oil warms cold hearts when we put it in a heater. Oil invigorates and it gives strength. So like a massage. As jy vir my wil bless, nee, boek vir my a massage. Alright, it's my love language. Oil adorns as a sign of joy. Ever in the Old Testament, people were anointed, joy was released over them. Oil polishes the rough edges, die dinge wat slyp teen mekaar. Oil kom maak het glad. I don't know about you, but I need the oil of the Holy Spirit in many, many areas of my life. And I want to invite you as a congregation to trust God with me that we will have the oil of the Holy Spirit present in our lives. Empty of ourselves, empty of our own might, our own power. I'd look at some rubble in my life. God, I thought by now things would have been different or bigger or whatever. I changed in certain areas and they're not yet. And God is saying, Heinrich, there's still a lot of you there. Hoor jy te, daar's nog baie van jou daarso. Lay yourself down. It's my might, my power. What do you see? If you can close your eyes, I'm going to just read you a little something that the Lord just laid on my heart. What do you see? I see a people dearly loved by God. That's when I think of you, Shofar Summers of the West. His treasured possession. I see a people of faith, not afraid to take risks for the kingdom of God. I see believers filled with the Holy Spirit and living lives that make an impact across nations and generations. I see a group of battle-hardened intercessors who will not back down from their place on the wall as they hold on to the promises of God and hope in His salvation. I see trophies of grace redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, broken vessels who live to see the name of Jesus lifted high as a banner over this basin, this nation, and the nations of the world. I see servants of the Most High God, bond servants who do not seek popularity or fame, but live for the approval of the Maker of heaven and earth. I see faithful friends. We've counted the cost, bought the t-shirt, overcame offense, and are walking in the power of supernatural forgiveness. I see worshipers, men, women, boys and girls, whose greatest joy is to bring Him honor in word, song, and their everyday lives. I see extravagant givers who joyfully continue to give to the building of God's house. I see heroes of the faith who make a difference to countless individuals. Heroes who do not get the pulpit or the stage or the movie, but who are worthy to be counted amongst the great cloud of witnesses who inspire me daily never to forget that names matter. People count, big and small, rich and poor, black and white and everything in between, the able and the other abled, the families and the fatherless, the surfer and the skater, the homeless and the prisoner, the mom and the dad, the abused and the powerful, the lonely and the friendly, all matter. When I look at this house, I see a people who yet have no idea how much God loves them, how great His plans are for them, how infinite His grace and provision. And when I look at this house, I see the Father's arms embracing each one, His love a wall of fire around us, His holiness calling us closer, and His passion for the lost souls of desperate men and women setting our hearts ablaze to go and love the way we are loved. Father, we thank You for the beauty of Revelation. We thank You, Holy Spirit, for moments when You come to speak to us clearly. And I pray that those moments will be our daily bread in this house. I pray that You will come and bless us with the courage to look at what is in our lives, to have conversations around it, and to bring that to You and ask You to show us what You see. Father, I come before You, Lord, together with this congregation, and we bring before You the rubble, Lord, of years of frustration and acknowledgement that so much in our lives we would have desired to be different by now, that we would have desired, Lord, much more of Your presence. We would have desired, Lord, even for this building to be filled with many more people, so much in our individual lives, Lord, in our corporate lives, where there are stones, Lord, that seem to refuse to move. And we thank You for those stones. We thank You that You have brought us, Lord, to the end of our own strength and bringing us face to face with a beautiful promise that there's a source of oil that will never run dry. Lord, we walk away from striving, from worrying, from an obsession with our contribution, and we yield to You. And we thank You for the beautiful, glorious, amazing things that are living in Your heart towards us. Like the woman that was infirm, we come to You by faith this morning. We ask You, Holy Spirit, for the oil of Your presence, the oil of Your anointing. I want to pray especially, Father, for those that You have called in this house, not to preach, not to be on the stage, but like Zerubbabel, You have called them to govern. You have called them, Lord, to the place of commerce. You have called them to the place of loving their families well. And You have anointed them to finish what You have given them. I pray that they will see Your provision. I pray that they will feel Your touch. I pray, Lord, for yieldedness to receive that which only comes from You. Thank You for Your mercy upon us, Lord, in this community where so much is about our efforts, so much is about how we look, so much is about what we drive, where we live. And Father, we want to walk away from that. And we thank You for the life of the Spirit. We thank You for what we drive. We thank You for where we live. We thank You for what we have. They are gifts out of Your hand. But we declare that they will not define us, God. Show us how Your oil can flow through that which You have given us and bring life to the world around us. In Jesus' precious, beautiful name we pray. Amen. I've got a couple of bottles of oil at the front, and I want to pray for some of you. If you're Zerubbabel's in this place, men and women that God has called to make a difference there where He's planted you. And I want to pray for you. Maybe you're at the end of your strength, you need a touch from God. If we can leave that slide up there that speaks about the oil. There are areas in your life where you need the lubrication of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to anoint you as a physical. I'm going to ask the elders to join me. Just as a physical point of contact for you to say, Lord, enough of me, enough of my striving. Beautiful, glorious things. The lampstand in Moses' time was glorious, but the season had changed. I feel in my heart for us as a Shofar family, but glorious, beautiful things that worked in the past. And God is saying the season has changed. I want to show you new things. I want to walk with you. The Lord bless you. Have an incredible Sunday. Enjoy the report. It's lovely to read the sports section of the report today. Enjoy it. I want to pray with you. So I want to ask you, please care on the outside. I believe that God is wanting to do some business with some people. It's good to be back. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your prayers. The Lord bless you. Have an amazing Sunday.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available